15th of January. Well, it snowed this morning, and then it snowed this afternoon. It's 2029 now. Not the year, it's 8:29, if you don't know how to use the 24-hour clock. And it's still snowing. It's all the way up to my knees now. I went out to build a snowman in the backyard, but after I left the back door open and I let all the heat out, Mum came rushing out and shouted at me at how much it costs to heat a house this size, and something about not being able to afford the bills or something. So I was dragged inside. I only made the torso of what would have been the sexy window cleaner rendered in snow. I would have given it quite the bust. And lifelike lady anatomy. Although I have to say, I've no idea what the lady sexy bits look like, so I just sort of guess what it looks like. The female reproductive organs, or to give it the correct medical term, the minge. So quite how I expected to carve one out of snow, I've no idea. But I've got kind of a rough idea of what bosoms look like, just because I've seen mine and Cecil's. I can only assume man bosoms are the same shape and feel as woman's bosoms. Are they as hairy? I don't know. 16th of January. The snow hasn't stopped all night. It's up to the middle of my chunky thigh now. We were going out for a nice meal with Eugene and his wife, but apparently she hates the cold and doesn't have any trousers. And he's one of those chaps that you see about the place that no matter how cold it is, he'll only ever wear sports shorts. The really short ones that just go up to his testy. He's into sports. He loves aquapolo, whatever the hell that is. Probably just like normal polo, but on seahorses. He used to be a drug addict, you see, like proper scary drugs, like heroines and cracks, but not like Tony, who just eats Pritt stick. When Eugene first came to work here, he'd sneak off for weeks at a time. He'd only be found in a loft space surrounded by needles and dragons he'd chased, or some, I don't know, vernacular for drug paraphernalia. Anyway, after about a month of working here, and I use the term in the loosest possible sense, we did one of those interventions where everyone confronts him and forces him to go to rehabilitation. But it had the opposite effect. We tried the tough love approach, and he didn't care for that one jot. He sort of ran around the building after punching Mum in the ear when she was blocking his only exit. And then he jumped through a window. We didn't see him again for 2 weeks. And when we did see him, he was busking with a cheap child's guitar, singing one of my songs, which he had bastardised. I think it was my song about Thor Heard. So I grabbed the guitar off him. It was a weekend, he was a heroin addict. He couldn't fight back, and I smashed it on the pavement, or the side of the walk, if you're an American, which I doubt you are. Though eventually he did clean up his act, and by that I mean he stopped taking drugs, not his personal hygiene, which to this day is questionable. But since he stopped taking drugs, he's starting to be keen on sports. Like I say, aquapolo, water chess, sky tennis, handball he's good at, ski jumping, jump skiing, which I don't know what that is, wee badminton he likes, and of course he loves his netball, but not the netball game that schoolgirls play, the other netball. So anyway, he didn't have any trousers, neither did his wife, who only had shorts, so they won't come out, so we didn't go for a meal. Bastard. 17th of January. I saw the lady window cleaner again this morning. She was cleaning the windows with her exposed breasts. When she pushed too hard against the glass, it shattered. She fell through the window and onto my bedroom floor. She slowly got up and I could already see blood gushing from her tits. Excuse me. She got to her feet and I started to walk over to her. She begged me to stay back. She grabbed a large piece of glass and started to cut her bosoms off. As she did, I could see behind the bosoms. There were no ribs, as I expected, but rather one small head behind each bosom. They looked like freaky babies, but evil freaky babies, and they were both screaming. The lady window cleaner threw the breasts at me. I caught them and looked down at them. They turned into two large piles of spiders, which proceeded to crawl up my arms and mass around my neck like a horrific arachnid scarf. Ugh. I looked at the window cleaner woman, and she was just ripping her skin off. Each lump of flesh that she tore off turned into maggots and spiders as they hit the floor. Under her skin was the scarecrow, of course. The scarecrow that's been haunting my nightmares ever since I was a child. Then, as it usually does, it ran over at me with its twiggy fingers coming towards me, thrusting its hands into my chest, ripping out my lungs and my heart. Then while I was stood there petrified, it slowly started to pull on its own lips. As its whole mouth was being torn open, and from deep within, tiny pitchfork body wielding Rosambar cherub things came flying out of its open mouth. They start to scream, but the scream's louder than a jet plane, and that shook the whole house down, and then the whole world disappeared. It was just me and him in the space. He grabbed me by my ribs and pulled me close to its face. Then it started to speak. And then, as always, I woke up. One day I'm going to find out what that damn scarecrow wants to say to me and why it does its horrific ritual every time. And maybe on that day, it will haunt me no longer. 18th of January. My final Christmas present arrived today. Bloody internet. Mum had ordered me a camcorder for Christmas. She ordered it in early November, but from a site called educk.tv. It looked legit enough. It had lots of nice pictures, but it was cheapest by far than the rest of the World Wide Web. Oh, she's a woofing and a chuffing. So we said, yes, we'll have that one, even though I thought, that seems almost too good to be true. And turned out it was. A month went by and we'd had no word from them, even though the money had gone out of our account instantly. We didn't get a confirmation of our order or anything. Every day I begged Mum to ring them up and find out what was going on. And eventually Mum rang up and this is what happened.
What?
Hello, yeah. Is this Educk TV?
Yeah, what do you want?
I ordered it.
What's your order number?
Well, I don't know, I wasn't sent any confirmation.
How can I do what if I've got an order number?
Well, I was never sent a confirmation of our order.
If I've got an order number, I can't do it, can I?
How can I give you an order number if you haven't sent me one?
Mm-hmm.
Right, can I speak to your manager, please?
Manager?
Poppycock, put me on.
Hey,
now,
I've spoken like that. Right, you swore at me, so I'm hanging up. Bye.
Then that was it. So Mum rang up the credit card company, we went through the whole fraud thing, and eventually we got the money back and ordered off a well-known online retailer, MrsZippy.com or Nile.com. Something about a big river, can't remember, I don't know, I don't do computers. 19th of January. We spent most of the day playing with my new camcorder. It's all in HD, which stands for high dimension. You know, like three dimension, but instead of a third dimension, you've just got a high one, I think. I haven't really read the instructions and I probably never will. Don't need to, I'm the man. But why have I got a camcorder, chubby, stinking, ugly Parthax? I hear you ask. It's quite cruel, if you don't mind me saying so. Well, we've got this camcorder because Radio Thax will soon be broadcasting over the airwaves as our New Year / Christmas 2-month holiday is finished. And I want to start broadcasting films as well so people can see me. Not just him. So on February, the ladies get to look at me in all my glories, my morning glories, my evening glories. They're the two glories I'm aware of. 20th of January. The snow is still here. It's compact quite a bit now, which is even worse. I slipped over on my way to get my haircut today. It's been a long time coming. Not slipping over, I mean getting my haircut. I look like one of those hippies or heavy metal Satanists you've seen walking around, looking ever so grumpy. In fact, my hair had got so bad, it got a few, they look like dreadlocks around the back, a bit matted. So Mum refused to touch it and Dad's frightened of scissors. So they gave me £10 and demanded I get my hair cut. So I braved the snow and went to the barber's at the end of the street to get my hair cut, obviously. I often look in that barber when I walk past. I've secretly dreamt of having my hair cut professionally, just to be pampered like that. It's like something out of Hollywood or a first-class aeroplane. It's just a level of decadence I'm not used to. More often than not, when I look in there, there's a man barber. But Every once in a while, there's the sauciest looking buxom woman in there I've ever seen. She wears unbelievably low cut tops. And seems to allow her bosoms to just sort of flop against the side of your head whenever she's leaning over you. And she wears those kind of leggings that women seem to be wearing these days that they look like they've just painted their legs black. You know, because the leggings are so tight and skimpy. You know, which is all well and good on a saucy 25-year-old, but not so good on my 71-year-old mother. Or, like that horrible Tuesday, my father. Nothing left of the imagination. Anyway, so with hopes and dreams of a busty, bawdy barber lady, I ventured in. Of course, it was the man. And on first impressions, he appeared to be the shiniest man I'd ever seen. Totally bald. Skin so smooth it was almost unnatural. And a nose that could take your eye out, it was so pointy. His eyes seemed a little small, like that of the crayfish. Now, you know how many people like Graham Norton and Alan Carr are incredibly camp. Slightly over-the-top camp, if you ask me. There's no need to be that camp. It seems put on, almost. You know, I mean, I don't care how much you enjoy tickling another man's nut cluster. There's just no need to giggle with your fingers in that kind of position of your mouth. Anyway, these TV camp men have nothing on this barber guy. This guy, I don't know if he has some problem with his wrists, but his hands just seem to sort of float around as if they're weightless. When I walked in the door, he put his fingers to his lips, both hands of his fingers to his lips, and he just said, "Oh my, look at you." But in his own voice, obviously. I'm not getting him in to do that. I didn't know how to respond. So I just sort of sat there and said, "I'd like my haircut, please." To which he said, "Oh, yes, see, you do. Sit your tush down, my little darling, and I'll see if we can work some sexy magic." That had me a little worried. I didn't know if I was being propositioned or not. I don't know if this is how homosexuals ask each other if they want some chap-on-chap action. Woffingtons. Now, I'm trying my very best to be politically correct here. And she's woofing and a chuffing. Should a gaggle of gays get hold of this diary? I'm sorry, but I was a little bit scared. Scared that this man may at any point start to tickle my earlobe, maybe even lick it. As far as I'm aware, all gay people will do anything with any other gay person. That's what my friend Eugene says. He lived on the streets for a while. He told me about what a cottage is. And he just said, "Oh, they do all that." He's a Brummie, can't really do the accent. He would know. Apparently, to get his drug money, he would do things. I never ever wanted him to go into detail on what he would do. But when he got drunk, he often went into detail quite graphically about what he would do. As I was thinking all this, I started to get panicked. All this was going through my mind, you see. The barber was doing something at the back of my hair, and I began to sweat. My heart was racing. I began to hyperventilate. I just sort of sat there, breathing, panicking. I was looking at myself, looking at him. And then I just shouted, "I don't want bumming!" The barber stood up and looked at me, right in the eyes through the mirror. And then he just started laughing. Well, giggling. And he said, "Ooh, you silly big poo." Then he put his hand on my chin and slapped it gently. It wasn't until then I'd noticed an old fat man sat in a stool in the corner. He didn't say anything, he just sat there looking at me. He looked like a 1970s old fat New York detective. Really grumpy, unshaven, smoking a cigar. He gave me the evil eye and said in a broad Brooklyn accent, "Wah, I'll bomb you, you fat fuck." I gave a look of terror, but the barber said, "Oh, don't worry about it, that's Bob. We've been together 28 years. To which I said, "Oh, 28 years, blimey." And then that was the last thing I said for 10 minutes. There was quite an uncomfortable silence. I didn't know if it was because they were offended at what I'd said, or just, you know, because that's what usually happens when I talk to people. But I couldn't move or dare speak because I had brewing one of the biggest trumps, I'd ever felt brewing in my pipes. I would just sat there, straining to keep it in, again, because I don't really know if the homosexual gentlemen like the bum trumps, because smells of... I just didn't know. So anyway, we just sat there in silence, and I was just sort of struggling to, trying to keep it in. And then when he finished, he just said, "Right, so get out there and wow them." And I said, "Thank you." And I stood up, and then the fart burst from my bum. It was both gigantic in length and volume and stench. I looked at the barber. He looked stunned. Stunned, that word was there. And then he looked over at Bob. Bob just stared at me. And then Bob burst into fits of laughter. Then the barber did. Then I did. They both found it hilarious. Suddenly all the awkward barriers were down. The tension had gone. Literally in my arse's case. It was just three blokes laughing at a fat man farting. The campus was nothing to be scared of. It's just how he was. He found farts amusing. And that makes them all right in my book, no matter who he loves. We stood there for what seemed like ages, laughing and that. It was until the smell hit them, I think. It hit me quite early on, but I think it took a while to get over there. Then I was asked to leave. When I got home, I looked in the mirror. It was the worst haircut I've ever seen on man or beast. I'm going to have to describe it tomorrow because I'm going to have to go watch my Thundercats DVD with a bag atop my head because it's upset me so much. 21st of January. Told Dad about it yesterday and he just slapped me in the face and said, "Stop being so homophobic, you idiot." Damn bastard. Anyway, where do I begin? Well, probably with the haircut I got yesterday. First, let me say that I don't really like looking in mirrors. I hate to see myself. So while I was at the barber's yesterday, I spent most of my time looking at the chunks of the hair as they sort of fell over my man bosoms. When he finished cutting my hair, I just wanted to be out of there as quickly as possible. So when he said, "Is that all right?" In reference to the haircut, I just said, "Yeah, smashing, thanks." I didn't really look in the mirror. I was just concentrating on keeping my Trump in. Obviously, we know the giant Trump released. But I didn't check in the mirror. So when I got home, I walked into the living room and said, "Ta-da!" to Mum and Dad. They just sat there with their mouths open wide. At first, I thought it was a look of awe and that maybe they thought I looked like the main Mountie Man from the 1990s commu drama. That's comedy drama, not communist drama. Due South. But no, it was a look of horror and confusion. But you see, my hair had been cut mostly at the back, but it had not taken off enough at the back. How do you describe it? I looked essentially like Friar Tuck, but a modern day Friar Tuck with gel. He sort of put the ring around and sort of spiked the ring up. I looked a bit like one of those hobs that you get in professional kitchens, sort of spider hob burner thing, but of hair / Friar Tuck look. It was disgusting. So as soon as I saw that in the mirror, I let off a tirade of foul obscenities. And for once, I didn't get told off. In fact, Dad had said I'd been, to quote him, "a fucking butchered." And in 30-odd years of his life, I've never heard him swear till that moment. That's how bad it was. Now, I don't know if the barber is an inept haircutting moron or if he just did that out of spite because I was really quite rude about his sexuality. But I wasn't going to let it stand. Tomorrow, I'm going to take action.